History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Andre Béliveau, thanks for being here today.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. So first of all, I don't know if you were able to see, because I do want to weave in, if I can, the debate last night between Dave McCormick, who I will point out has never in his life, has never been a politician. And he was somebody who grew up here in Pennsylvania, somebody who served as a combat veteran, you know, served on in Iraq on the front lines, if you will, and then went on to working in the private sector and at a very high level, certainly in the financial world. And then we have Bob Casey Jr., who is well known, obviously, because of his famous beloved father, but somebody who has been a career politician by all accounts here in Pennsylvania and has a big name and lives off the family name and the legacy. But I want to weave in last night's debate, if I can, as well, speaking about energy and some of the policies and how that looks and how they differ. So let's start, if we can, Andre, talking about, you know, where we left off, I think, one of the last times we spoke, and that was Governor Josh Shapiro, the reliable energy sustainability standards, talking about House Bill 2277. I know you wanted to talk about this. Where are we as far as regulations, as far as policies here in Pennsylvania and what it means for all of us?
Sure. Well, so there was supposed to be a committee vote at the state capitol on Tuesday on the program you just mentioned, the PRESS, which is Governor Shapiro and the Democrats' proposal to essentially cut grid reliability in half and increase electric bills for ratepayers across Pennsylvania, all in the name of answering to their renewable energy lobbyists and green energy donors by changing our alternative energy portfolio standard by increasing the amount of intermittency we have in the grid, which that means you're going to be paying more for less reliable energy. This obviously doesn't make sense, and for whatever reason, in their infinite wisdom, they decided to pull the bill from committee. So we can all we can sleep better tonight knowing that at least we live to fight another day. So that bill was actually pulled from committee, which is great. But I think when we're looking at kind of the totality of the landscape, you mentioned the debate last night. Obviously, we just had the vice presidential debate the other night with J.D. Vance and Tim Walz. You know, I think that all this is interesting. And I think, you know, especially if we go back to Tuesday night and then we see some subsequent interviews that have happened after that. I mean, Kamala Harris is, I think, actually asking us to be unburdened by what has been. She allegedly says that she's changed her tune on fracking. We've now heard it from her mouth several times. She says she will not ban fracking. So I'm going to take her at her word because she's saying it. But she also said something in an interview this week that I think is saying the quiet part out loud. She, in the same vein, she said, I'm not going to ban fracking. She then followed that up and says, we don't have to ban fracking to do all the work that we need to do to have a clean energy economy. And that right there to me is, that's the quiet part out loud. Mm-hmm. That's the canary in the coal mines. That is her signal that, you know, take her record for what it is. And, what has the record been? The record's been an LNG pause. It's been an EPA that wants to absolutely get rid of reliable hydrocarbon power plants. It's been the Inflation Reduction Act poisoning our energy markets, changing price signals, increasing costs for ratepayers. You've seen your electric bills go up. So she, you know, she was right. She doesn't have to ban fracking. It could be death by a thousand cuts to American energy. You know, get rid of good jobs, raise energy costs for everybody, and make our grid less reliable. And I think overall, that's the policy trend we're seeing from the left. They're trying to moderate. Which, you know, I'm glad she's not going to ban fracking, but if you're still going to do a thousand other things that are going to be detrimental to the energy environment, you know, and again, I think we should just take them at their word, what they're saying, and look at their records. And to me, the record is pretty clear.
If I can, because McCormick and Casey at last night's debate, there will be another debate mid-October. locally in Philadelphia this time at 6ABC. But on this one, McCormick Casey being asked about fracking specifically, and I'll begin with McCormick as he answers how he plans to balance the economy and mentions the fracking and the energy policies.
How do you plan to balance supporting the industries while also protecting the environment? You have 60 seconds.
Listen, what the Democrats have done and Bob Casey's voted for has been the most idiotic energy policy I've ever seen. So first of all, we constrained our natural resources, particularly fracking around the world in Pennsylvania. You don't have to ban fracking to ban fracking. All the things he's voted for and supports bans fracking. And essentially what's happened is we've lost our ability to be energy dominant. We've hurt ourselves in terms of creating these great jobs. It's not just not losing jobs. We have the fourth largest natural gas reserves in the world. We're blessed. And this natural gas is the way to a clean environment. Because of fracking, we've reduced carbon emissions in the United States by about 20%. Exporting our natural gas around the world and replacing coal-fired plants in India is the path to reducing carbon. I'm an environmentalist. I'm a conservationist. I also want great jobs for Pennsylvania, and I want to be secure. Bob Casey, and Bob Casey has made us more dependent on China because these huge subsidies for EVs and solar panels, we have to buy from China. So 70% of the lithium batteries and the solar panels come from China. I can't think of a more stupid set of policies.
Okay.
And I'm anxious to hear
that. Time is up, sir. Mr. Casey,
them.
Same question.
So we'll let Casey tell his side, but just your analysis, Andre Belliveau, if you would, as far as do you agree with McCormick or there's some parts that you're critical of what he said?
Well, I mean, I think when we're talking strictly about policy and a policy direction, which I would 100% mm-hmm. encourage all your listeners to go to the commonwealthfoundation.org, read our energy policy platform, and compare what we're saying is good policy to what you're hearing out there, and let the data and the facts speak for themselves. I will say, I mean, there's certainly some things there in a policy direction that we advocate for, policies we advocate for in the Commonwealth Foundation. I mean, absolutely. I mean, with the policy landscape we're seeing in Pennsylvania, we are not right now unlocking our full economic potential, particularly when it comes to the natural gas industry, but even broader in the energy industry. We've seen some good things happen, like we saw at Three Mile Island, a private partnership that's free market, free markets working, and the industry working with private industry. That's great. But we're the second largest producer of natural gas in the country. We have literally the keystone in Pennsylvania to Americans' energy demand. We can meet that demand with natural gas, but we are, in-state permitting is a serious issue. Things like an LNG ban at the federal level obviously does not allow us to expand into global markets. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much government red tape that needs to get out of the way for Pennsylvania's energy economy to thrive. And really deliver for American energy independence. If we're serious about American energy security and independence, then absolutely. I mean, we have to be getting rid of these regulations. And there's, of course, a way to do this responsibly. They create this false dichotomy. You either have to care about the environment or you have to, care about reliable energy. And these things work hand in hand. Our own independent fiscal office in Pennsylvania has shown how we've reduced carbon emissions by transitioning to more robust usage of natural gas, which the left and the environmentalist left would like to absolutely ignore. So, we have the potential to not only provide reliable energy, but to do so clean. We're the cleanest economy in the world here in the United States, and Pennsylvania has the answer to keep us going in that trajectory. So I think hearing policies that reflect that are certainly policy directions that I would support personally, and I believe that we advocate for at the Commonwealth Foundation.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
And so I'll just, to be fair, I'll play the other side because we stopped before we could get to Senator Casey's reaction because fracking, I think, is emerging as this pivotal issue in Pennsylvania in this Senate race. It's one of the biggest issues. So here's his response to that.
Supporting the natural gas industry and protecting the environment. You have 60 seconds.
Dennis, my record's pretty clear on this. Number one is I supported legislation just 2 years ago that made the greatest investment in clean energy in American history, allowing us to combat climate change, and at the same time have supported an all-the-above energy strategy for Pennsylvania. We have natural gas. I've always supported it in the extraction of natural gas. He's been the same guy who lies about where he lives has been lying about my position on fracking. I voted against a fracking ban. He won't tell you that because he doesn't want to talk about his own record as a hedge fund CEO.
And so your reaction to that with, if you would, Andre.
Yeah, so I mean, he used one of my least favorite phrases, which is all of the above energy, all the above energy policies. And again, you can go to the CommonwealthFoundation.org. I wrote an article for this in National Review. And it's not just Democrats. Republicans do this all the time. Even some of my favorite policy analysts say this all the time. And some of our friends kind of in the sort of wonky energy industry, they try to use this to moderate and say we need all of the above, which is it's really a blank check to the Green New Deal and is really a blank check to some of these policies that are just going to make energy more expensive and less reliable. So what I would prefer lawmakers and those, running for office who are putting out policy platforms and, we need lawmakers and politicians to be advocating for reliable and affordable energy. We've advocated in-state in Pennsylvania for lawmakers in Harrisburg to adopt reliability language in statute, something that's source neutral, that allows all sources to compete on equal terms of reliability instead of, right now we have the government picking winners and losers. And of course, with progressives always want to favor, wind and solar. But, we think we should just be prioritizing reliable and affordable instead of just blank checks to all of the above. And anyway, so those are the policies that we would advocate for and that we would hope anyone left, right, and center would adopt these kinds of policies that are going to lead us towards a reliable and affordable energy future.
When, and I feel embarrassed for those moderators on Tuesday who made their second question in the VP debate about climate change when we have people, dying in our southern states. But
let me comment on that real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked in the North Carolina legislature. I worked in North Carolina politics. I was born in upstate New York, but I'm a North Carolinian at heart. I spent so much time down there working in policy, and that question really that became personal to me. I think it's absolutely acceptable and right for us to have honest questions about climate and about environmental conservation, but to try to link what we're seeing in our southern states and in western North Carolina in particular, where it hit home for me, that you're going to just, deflect about talking about the real life crisis right now, people who are actually suffering and the economic question around that and the things that we need for resiliency. And instead of talking about that, you want to make it about a more esoteric conversation of a broader question of climate change. That was personally offensive to me. And I think people, once again, it just shows how irresponsible the left wants to talk about these issues. There are ways to responsibly talk about environmental conservation and climate, and linking those two things together the way they did is irresponsible.
Yeah, it struck me that way as well. With Pennsylvania, I know that as far as climate change, all these different debates, they always ask about climate change, but even the Commonwealth polls that I've seen, Is climate change in the top 10? Where does that rate as far as when the Commonwealth, I know you put out questionnaires and polling and surveys. Where do you find that something like an issue of climate change? And believe me, I think we're all for clean air and clean water. I'm not trying to diminish it. But in the scheme of what we're dealing with right now, what do the Commonwealth Foundation with your surveys show people care about most, and where do they rate climate change?
Sure, and we're actually going to have an updated poll coming out in the next week and a half, so definitely keep your eyes on that. Maybe we can chat when we get some of those updated numbers out and released. But in the last two that we did this year, it doesn't even come close to the economy. Obviously, people are much more concerned about the economy and inflation. And in energy policy in particular, I mean, our polling showed that Pennsylvanians were not willing to pay a dollar more to combat climate change in the face of the rising electric costs. That was their number one concern. They were far more concerned. And I mean, it was an overwhelming supermajority of Pennsylvanians bipartisanly cared a lot more about the rising cost of energy. They were more concerned about the reliability of our energy grid. They fully support the expansion of our natural resources and our natural gas infrastructure. Those things are you know, legions ahead of people where they're thinking about climate change. And when you ask them about that, they want to be responsible and good citizens and show good civic leadership. You know, they'll do things and take personal interventions in their everyday lives to be good stewards of the environment and to help. But they just don't want the government, you know, putting their thumb on the scale and forcing them through all kinds of just draconian regulations to do all these kinds of things. They're just going to increase costs. So, I mean, Pennsylvanians understand, they understand, and our polling shows that they obviously, like everybody else, responsible people care about clean air and clean water, but it's certainly not a priority for them when they're thinking overall about what policies matter the most.
Andre Beliveau, thank you so much. Senior Manager of Energy Policy there at the Commonwealth Foundation. Until next time, my friend, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Don.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.